Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, a Friday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Thank you very much for joining us. 41 degrees out there, a balmy 41. On today's program, the FBI going to war in Detroit, declaring the city is infected with generational public corruption. We'll talk about the depth of the problem and if even the FBI can fix it. And February auto sales numbers for the big three shock analysts. What's driving the rising numbers? And with GM halting production of the Chevy Volt for 5 weeks, why is it not selling? I'll ask an industry analyst who's covered the industry for 25 years. But first, Democrats are set to make a full-court press next week to push forward their 2020 plan. It's bold, it's popular, but is it realistic? To talk about that and a lot more, I'm joined by Republican State Senator Phil Pavlov. He's the chair of the Senate Education Committee. Senator Pavlov, thanks for once again coming on the program.
Good to be back with you, Michael. How's everything?
Good, good. Well, it is Friday, so I think a little better than yesterday, of course. So there's a new poll released by Practical Political Consulting that shows that Michigan residents do strongly support this 2020 plan. It, of course, offers in-state college tuition to all Michigan graduates. Have you taken a look at the proposal, and what do you think of it?
Well, there's really not a proposal out there that has been kind of fleshed out. This came about in the form of a press conference a month or so ago, maybe a little bit longer. Not really strong on details, there's some key pieces missing, and I think the one key piece is, where are you going to get $1.8 billion to fund it the first year, and is it sustainable? And that's really what it comes down to.
I was going to say, state Democrats, they point to our over $35 billion that we give annually in tax expenditures that they say are riddled with loopholes. They say this plan could be funded by cutting just 10% of them. Is that something you and your Republican colleagues would likely consider doing?
Well, probably. Here's the thing. We've, as a reminder, in the budget process, have eliminated the majority of those refundable tax credits. They're no longer part of Michigan's tax policy. While some will still remain, the $35 billion is not a number that that is in place. A lot of that has been reduced. So I think the bigger question is, look, we understand that we have to have an educated workforce. And if you look today, we have about 70,000 jobs in the state of Michigan that are going unfilled. For a reason other than college education, we haven't done the best work matching up the jobs with the level of training that we need. And I think that over time, we've had this big push into college-ready and driving these students to college, and we've missed an opportunity in the education system to provide greater career technical education, trade schools, and a lot of those jobs, from welders down to medical assistants, are going unfilled in Michigan. And if we were able to fill those 70,000 jobs, unemployment in the state of Michigan would come down about 2%. That's putting Michigan to work. So, there's a couple different ways to get at it.
Well, as the chair of the Senate Education Committee, do you think that we're investing enough money in our education system, either the K-12 or the higher education?
Well, I think what you see in this year's budget shows about a 3% increase to higher ed. Last year, for obvious reasons, everybody was affected by a very difficult budget. We're in Michigan in a different position than we were 12 months ago, and so you're starting to see some of that funding come back. But it's very difficult to come up with, almost $2 billion worth of new revenue just to push into college education. And really, what I'd like to see in the plan is, what degrees are going to be allowed in this process? I mean, do we really have the capacity and the tax dollars just to get a college education, or do we really need to be focused in terms of promoting certain winners and losers? And I think you get on a slippery slope with that.
Is it fair to say then that the 2020 plan will likely go nowhere?
I think in the reality of it, it's a very expensive plan. It's a massive expansion of state involvement. And I would argue that maybe some of our immediate needs fall more into the K-12 area of our school systems, and how can we get the necessary reforms there that, you know, that are going to prepare the students to make their own choice. And I think if you took a look at it, the universities, there's not a shortage of applications into these universities. You have to ask the question on capacity. I think I read something that U of M had 40,000 applicants just last year.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
yep.
So I don't think that there's a shortage of people that are able to find their way to college.
I'm talking to Republican State Senator Phil Pavlov. He's the chair of the Senate Education Committee. So, Senator, what's happening in Highland Park right now? Things seem to be moving back and forth. What is the latest, and what do you see as being the outcome for that school district?
Well, I mean, it's been a very difficult 3 years for that school district. Let's be fair and accurate and define the problem, what it is. Highland Park Schools have been mismanaged to the extent where they've gone broke. And the money that was invested into Highland Park far exceeds what any other school district in the state of Michigan has received over the last 3 years. Yet they've been able to somehow drive that district into bankruptcy. About 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, a review team determined that, you know, the financial crisis existed and an emergency manager needed to be put in place. Well, there was a lawsuit by one of the board members. The emergency manager was removed, and just today he was reappointed to take over the finance of the district. I would also add that on Thursday of last week, the legislature approved a $4 million spending measure designed specifically to make sure that the kids in Highland Park get to finish out their year.
Uh-huh.
But the money isn't going to go to Highland Park. It's going to go to Detroit Public Schools. We're not going to allow them the ability to manage their money anymore. So that function will go to Detroit Public Schools, and we hope that we're able to keep the kids in their school buildings, finish out the year, and then probably make some difficult decisions, but necessary decisions on what happens next year.
When we talk about emergency financial managers, supporters this week filed their petition, over 220,000 signatures, to put a proposal on the November ballot to eliminate Public Act 4, the new emergency financial manager law. What would happen if state voters do, in fact, decide to do that?
Well, that'll happen in November, and I'll tell you that it would be chaos, because we've had to deal with, just in Highland Park alone, there's no control over that spending when you get to a point of bankruptcy. And you'll also note that the school board, after they arranged the financial rescue package, asked for the emergency manager. And it's a tool that keeps these services flowing. And I've heard nothing in terms of a suggestion of a replacement for it. I sponsored one of the bills in the emergency managed package, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works, and people are probably looking at it the wrong way. But let's just assume for a minute that there's no emergency manager. What is the resolution for Highland Park Schools? You've got 1,000 students in there trapped in the middle of an urban area, and it's not their problem. The adults in the system have destroyed that school district to a point where it didn't have anything to do with the students that were attending that school. So right. What happens in the month of February or March when you can't open the doors to that school district?
Well, that certainly would be a problem for them. Now, one last thing. Obviously, the big story this week was the Republican primary, Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum fighting it out. Although, do you think that their opposition, both of them, to the auto bailout will ultimately be a major factor in how the state votes?
I think that there's people that will look at it and they'll review that. But the candidate that emerges on the Republican side has got to have a strong economic message that goes above and beyond and talks to the real crisis that's in our country today. If they can articulate the plan for reducing the federal debt, the plan for getting America back onto a solid footing, they'll look past that, And I think really you'll have an opportunity to really articulate their position on what they thought about the auto bailout. Let's remember and let's not forget the impact of the workers in Southeast Michigan and then across the country. What happened to their retirement system? Let's take a look at the bonding companies who got completely wiped out. Let's take a look at the ownership. The government still owns that, a great significant portion of General Motors. So I think when you see record sales coming out, yeah, that sounds great, and it's in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been able to do that because they've been able to have the government come in there and shed them of all their liabilities and responsibilities on their legacy costs. So I think if you were to ask a retired General Motors employee what happened with their retirement system, they may look at it a little bit differently. But you have to take a look at the bigger picture. And one thing I've learned after many years, the voters in this state and in this country are pretty sophisticated. They will make a decision based on some pretty good research. And
mm-hmm. Although Michigan voters...
And that's as difficult as the primary system is. It gets messy, but mm-hmm. it's a system that we have, and in the end, you get your leader.
Right. Well, indeed, and Michigan voters have voted for the Democratic candidate for so many years in a row. We'll see what happens this year. Republican State Senator Phil Pavlov. Senator, thank you very much for your time.
Enjoy your weekend, Michael, and good catching up with you.
All right. You too.